produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Know it, come on.
Shine on me. Let the light from the lighthouse shine on me.
Sing it. I heard.
I heard the voice.
That's Full Gospel Baptist Church.
Of Jesus. Jesus. Say.
Lay down.
To me.
To me. Come on, Bishop.
And lay.
Hey. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Lay.
Exodus, spoiler alert, second book in the Bible. Exodus 14, beginning of verse number 10. When you find them, you say amen.
Amen.
You can say, hold on, brother. I don't mind waiting, I've got patience. Amen, seems like we're all there. Exodus chapter 14, verse number 10. It reads like this from the New International Version. As Pharaoh approached, The Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there was no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance or salvation of the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still." I want to use for a subject just two words. Look at your neighbor and say, "Neighbor,
neighbor,
hang on.
Hang on."
That's all we're going to talk about. Hang on. Hang on. Hang on. Book of Exodus, as I've already told you all this month, I feel that we understand that this book is dealing with exactly what the name tells us, that there is an exit. There is some movement towards something that is ending. That something is transpiring that is letting us know that something is happening, that something is ending, somebody is coming out. There is an exit. And my brothers and my sisters, I'm grateful to God that on today, as a people, we've had many exits. Many of people, there have been many exits that we have faced. And the thing is that for us, I think we get caught up on the going in, that we miss the exits and leaving out. And I think so many of us in our history as a people, we focus so much on what we have gone through that we don't look at that what God has already done for us. That we, if we pay attention and we actually look at our lives and the story of our lives, that if you be honest in here, God has brought you out of more stuff than you got yourself into. Let me say that one more time. That for everything that you brought yourself in, God got you out. And then here it is, watch this, is that somebody said, "Well, God ain't got me out." Well, I hate to let you know this, God has provided many exits, you just didn't take them. Oh, can I say it one more time? You see, my brothers and my sisters, there are things in our lives that we got to realize is that that for us, there's a lot of stuff that we get ourselves into, but yet we want God to bring us out. And when God opens up an exit, we're like, "No, I don't want that one. No, that one ain't working for me. No, I got to do that in order to get out." And God says, "Didn't I just give you five different ways you can get out, but some of us just remain to stay in?" I look at it like this, like you're on a flight. If you ever been on a flight, you know that the flight attendant, what she does is that, or he or she, because it's both men and women now, that they get up there and they show you where the emergency exits are. So just in case the plane has some issues, the emergency exits are here, here, back here, and up there. And the thing is that I noticed is that for a whole lot of us, we get on the plane, we got our headphones in, because you've been on a flight so many times, you don't need the emergency. You don't need somebody to tell you how to be able to, that the seat can be used as a flotation device. You don't need to know that when the thing comes down, put the mask on your face, and before you try and help somebody else, make sure it's secure on your face. You don't need to know what emergency exits are, because if you've been on a plane, you feel like you know exactly where the exits are. The exits are going to be here, they're going to be there, they're going to be at the front, they're going to be at the back of the plane. I don't need to do that, but here it is. Watch this. But just let something happen on the plane. Watch something happen on that plane. All out of us, what happens is that you forget everything. Because why? Because if you're in the midst of it, you're not thinking about, "Oh Lord, wait a minute, hold up, let me try and figure out where the exits are." Because here it is, as long as everything's good, we can put our headphones on, we can be reading our book, we ain't got to pay attention. But God says, here it is, I need you to understand that before the situation gets bad, take your headphones off and pay attention, that I've got ways of getting you out even before you go in.
Is that, my brothers and my sisters, that's a good news for us today, because
something tells us that God has already designed a way for you to go out even before you get in. Yeah. Just like he did for the Israelites. Here we go. Bible tells us, and I like this, that story tells us that Israelites raise in population because they've been in Egypt. We know the story. Been in Egypt because of Joseph, and Joseph helps them to be able to get over the famine. It keeps his brothers and his brothers' children and his father, and they are able to overcome the famine, but they stay in Egypt. And the Bible says that in Egypt, their population gets out of control. You know, they are some immigrants. They cross the border. And it fears them. There's some migrants. And all of a sudden, the dominant group looks at what was a minority and sees that the minority has become the majority. I hope y'all paying attention. And so they say, we've got to find a way to deal with population control. Because we don't like the fact that what was minor is now major. And so what they do is that the government used to be pro-life. However, they become pro is good for my life. And what they do is they decide that we've got to have population control. Get the midwives to take those children who are boys and kill them. Midwives who are, I like to say, are like sisters, Shifra and Pua, say, we ain't gonna kill our babies for you. So what happens is that Pharaoh says, I'm gonna take it upon myself. And I'm going to make sure that this population does not get out of control. We need more babies, but we don't need their babies. We need more of our babies. Because as long as we're getting our babies, it's fine. And the way we can get more of our babies is if we kill their men, because the men carry the seed. Keep bringing the women, because as long as the women are there, then we have somebody to give birth to our children. Oh, y'all didn't expect to get this today, did you? And so what happens is that the system comes up with a plan to systematically try and decimate a population of people because they are afraid that those people will outnumber them and remember who they are and decide to conquer those people who are ruling them. Oh, does that happen today? I'm sorry, does that happen today? That people are worried that one group is going to replace them? That one group of people is thinking about that they got to have more babies on their side, and so they get rid of a law that's been law for over 50 years that has to deal with a woman's body, and so they're trying to now make other women have children even though they don't want to have children. But then, watch this, but then take another group's children, give them poor education, put them and keep them in neighborhoods to where they cannot see any hope. And so therefore, we take those children, and by the time they're in the third grade, we are building prisons to put those children in.
Right.
Y'all think I was going to go here this morning, did you? Take away things from one group
That's the reason why voting and doing the census is so necessary. It's Heritage Sunday. I thought I might just educate you that when you do the census, then that determines how we may be able to understand the Electoral College. That my brothers and my sisters, that don't you understand that in our state, that our state is set up for us to not have representation that represents our voices? That you create districts based upon the census. And when you create those districts, now you can be determined who has the Electoral College, how many votes you can have in the Electoral College. So what you do is that you gerrymander districts that's set up for you to stay in power even though you are losing the population control. Y'all think y'all won't get that this morning, this year.
Go ahead, Pop.
I want you to understand that there is nothing new under the sun.
Amen.
We've got to be aware that the devil has not changed his tricks. He's just changed his approach. But I love it that even in the midst of this, God still hears God's people. Why do you say that, Reverend? Because the Bible says that the people, after they have seen their children tossed into the Nile, they've seen their boys tossed into the Nile, they say they lift up their voices to God, and God said, I have heard the cry of my people. And my brothers and my sisters, that's some good news for us on today, to let you know that even in spite of what's going on, in spite of what's happening in the state house, in spite of what's happening at the White House, in spite of what's happening in the courthouse, that God still hears the cries of God's own people. And so I'm here to let somebody know, don't stop lifting up your voice. Don't stop telling somebody that there's a God in heaven who will listen to you. Because I ought to have some witnesses in the building on today who can testify and say that God still hears and answer prayer. That God still will hear you. That God still will make a way. That God still will step in. Am I the only one in here? But God, the God that I serve, now won't he step in? Won't he make a difference in your life?
Yes, he will.
Here's God.
Yes, he will.
Raises up Moses. Moses, we know, is raised as a prince of Egypt. He learns Egyptian war strategy. He learns the ways of the Egyptians. He learns how they operate. He learns to survey the land. And so, my brothers and my sisters, don't despise where God has you. Because the place that God has you, he wants you to get all you can, because he's going to take what you get and use it for his benefit. Don't despise where you are. It may seem mundane. It may seem like you have no business being there. But God wants you there because he needs you. God needs to get something out of you. God wants to take you and use you for his benefit. Yeah, it may hurt. But God says, I want you to use the pain as fuel. Remember what they did to you. Remember where you were. Remember how you feel at this moment. Because guess what? I'm about to take you and help you transform somebody else's life. Here's Moses, the prince of Egypt, raised in the house, runs off as a fugitive. Bible says God calls him, kills all his excuses. Thing I love about God is that God has a way of dealing with folks with excuses. Gets rid of every excuse. Makes it so Moses can go back to Egypt. Stand before Pharaoh and demand that he let God's people go so that they may worship. Now that's important. He didn't say just let them go. He said, no, just let us go and worship. Why? Because they've got to get to know God again. They've got to get reacquainted with the God of their ancestors. Because they've got to get reacquainted. Why? Because they've been in Egypt so long that they have forgotten who that God really is. Yeah. Their music doesn't sound the same. The way they pray doesn't sound the same. read scripture is not the same. How they talk to God is not the same. Oh yeah, I'm talking about us. Because our gospel music is not the same. I grew up in a time where music actually had meaning in the world. It wasn't just repetitive, up and down, Holy Ghost calisthenics, and you just, oh, okay, we're going to say this and we're going to sway. No, no, no. I had songs that were by John P. Key, even as a child, that said, Jesus is real. I know the Lord is real to me. That's what we were singing as children. I was singing, Dorothy Norwood, shake, 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 shake the devil off. When I was a child, I was going around singing, yes, we had Kirk Franklin, and even before he did stomp, we were singing stuff like that. We were singing stuff just like, let me give you this Kirk Franklin one, because this is the one that really blessed me. Silver and gold, silver and gold. I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. You see, we were singing, we had stuff that stuck to your cord. Some of y'all had some music too that stuck to your core. Some of y'all grew up with the Tommies, you right? You had the Thompson Community Choir, right? That you were singing Satan in his arms. That's where I want to be. I want to be Satan in his arms. You were singing for the good of them. He works it out for the good of them. Some of y'all, even before them, were singing James Cleveland, Peace Be Still. I don't know what you were singing. I don't know what was in your words, but I know this, that you had meaning in your words. Then you knew scripture.
Yeah.
You had to know scripture. Matter of fact, mom and daddy told you when you came to the table, you had to say a scripture over your knee.
Amen.
You had to go to Sunday school to learn the scripture. Now we got people who don't even know the difference between Joseph and Arimathea and Joseph in Genesis. We got people who don't even know how to pray. Because they didn't like to pray long. We don't know how to talk to God. But I remember the old deacon in Lake Grove Missionary Baptist Church. We used to make fun of him. But now I understand why he prayed like he prayed. He used to pray so hard he had a Jerry curl. He used to pray so hard. He'd be talking to the Lord on his knees for so long that the juice from the Jericho would be just going everywhere. He'd be spitting and all kinds of stuff. But well, guess what? He's still living. What you're trying to say, Reverend, is that he knew how to get a prayer through because he knew how to talk to God. And when you know how to connect to God, the Lord will extend the life in your year. God will give something more than what he's given other people. We've got to get back to that. I ain't trying to say let's go back in the 60s. I'm saying let's get back to the essence of who we are. Don't let the world change us. Don't let the world dictate how we worship God. That when we worship God, you ought to worship him from a pure heart, from a pure place. And it ought to be somebody here that can say, I want to worship God even when I'm going through, even when I'm hurting, even when I'm in pain. Because I know that God will bring me through in the midst of it. Let us go so we can worship. He don't do it. Moses comes to him. 9 plagues. Doesn't move. Finally, Lord sends one. This is going to be the major one. Passover. Put the blood on your doorpost. I'm going to pass over your houses. But I'm coming to the Egyptians and I'm taking that firstborn. Firstborn sons of everything, I'm taking. So the Lord does it. The Bible says, Exodus chapter 14. Thing is, Pharaoh lets them go.
Yeah.
And then watch this. He doesn't just let them go. He gives them reparation. Mm-hmm. Y'all missed it. What you mean, brother? Go back and read Exodus 13 and 12. And even before the Exodus chapter 4, where God tells him, I'm going to make him give y'all money, give you silver, give you gold, and give you everything you need when you leave here. What you mean, Reverend, is that what the Lord says is that because you were a slave, now that you are no longer a slave, you need something that's going to help set you up. You're going to need something that's going to get you ahead. because you're going to be behind. And so therefore, I'm going to make sure that your owner gives you what you rightfully deserve so that where you're headed, that you are already set up better than when you left. People wonder why. Black folks are in the position that we're in. It's not because we didn't get 40 acres and a mule. It's because, my brothers and my sisters, we were always 200 years behind. You give people 200-year head start, watch what they do. They build colleges, they build museums, they build neighborhoods, they build banks. Somebody said, well, Reverend, we had an opportunity to do that, but then you go and burn Black Wall Street. You go and run Black millionaires from the city of Memphis because you're afraid of the power that, and the influence that they're having. And so what you do is that you turn Millionaires Row in the Black community and turn it to the projects. Y'all didn't think I knew that, did you? Foots Homes and Claiborne Homes wasn't always there. At one point, Black millionaires lived in South Memphis. S-O-U-T-H Air Parkway had Black millionaires that lived on that street. And what they do is they take the man's house who saved the city from the yellow fever epidemic and robbed our church. And what you do is that you take his house, you burn it to the ground, and then you let the fire department use it as training ground. You take the only stadium that is owned by Black doctors who have a Negro League baseball team, and you take their field and turn it to a dump. Drive by Martin Stadium, or where it used to be there, you'll see a Mack truck. And you say we don't need reparations? So God says, I'm going to make sure that they pay you. They pay them, they're running, they're feeling good. Because they're free. But my problem with them being free is that they are physically free, but not spiritually or mentally free. All right. Text we just read today. They get in trouble because God has allowed Pharaoh to realize what he's lost. And he sends them after the Egyptians. And here it is. First thing that they do is, life would have been better for us in Egypt. It would have been better for us to die in Egypt than to die out here in the desert. Because they may be out of Egypt, but they don't have Egypt out of them. Right. See, my brothers and my sisters, it's important for us to understand that we must get the Egypt out of us. What you mean, Reverend, is that we got to stop being slaves and having a slave mentality. We've got to be able to build up entrepreneurs instead of tearing them down on Facebook and Google reviews. Hello, somebody. We've got to be able to frequent our businesses because the dollar in the Black community only circulates one time. Which means, what are you trying to say, Reverend? It's more expensive to go here and go there. Well, guess what? It does cost money. But I much rather spend it with my folks uplifting my people than being able to take it to another community. No, that's not bigotry. That's what you call loving who you are. We've got to learn how to love and appreciate what we have with each other. Here it is. We've got to get the Egypt out of us. We become so much as consumers that we don't realize that the people who are watching and watching us how much we spend already creating the next line, creating the next season. And here it is. We just as broke again when it comes tax time. All our money is gone. We just spent all our money trying to keep up and with the Joneses and looking good when in actuality we could have gave the money to little Susie who's on the corner doing the same thing, making the same kind of stuff and be able to lift her up. Hang on. We've got to learn how to love and appreciate each other. Move from the crabs in a barrel mentality. And move to a mentality that says if one succeeds, we all succeed. If we can push one up, then we know that the one that we push up will reach down and help lift somebody else. And then somebody else will help lift it. You see, the problem is that we have is that we don't like lifting nobody. Because we always want somebody to lift us. But can I help you out real quick? Is that you're looking for somebody to lift you, and you don't even realize that God has lifted us out. Tell them. And watch this. They cry out to the Lord, but blast Moses. When it's not Moses who's doing it, it's God who's leading. So they have a problem not with Moses, but they really actually have a problem with God. And they tell him, look, man, we don't like this situation. The Egyptians are on our tail. They're about to come get us. But they don't understand that God meant for them to double back because it's a setup for his glory to get rid of their enemy completely. See, my brothers and my sisters, you got to realize that some things that the Lord does is a setup for his glory. And you got to realize that sometimes when you are in his plan and you are in his will, the things that he does is a setup for his glory. Not for you to get the credit, but for him to get the credit. It's for him to get the glory. It's for him to get the honor. Because so many of us, we live in a life and live in a world where it's all about us and we don't make it about him. Yes, you got education. Yes, you got the good look. Yes, you got, you can talk really well. Yes, you got all of that. But it was God who gave it. So he says it's a setup. He says, all I want you to do, listen, trust in God. Hush and hang on. Trust, hush, and hang on. And that's all I got to tell y'all on today. Trust.
We've been shot back down. Yeah. the other side, they saw the Egyptians whose wheels got stuck in the road and the chariots couldn't move. So then they watched and God took the water from both sides. And the Egyptians drowned them in the sea. What are you trying to say? Hang on. Just wait and watch what God is getting ready to do. Your enemies who have been on your tail, God's going to let you see your enemies have to watch you get over on the other side. Then God is going to let you see the same enemies who've been on your tail. They're going to get stuck watching God bless you. But as they're stuck, God got something just for them. And you can be like those Israelites that I saw, that God brought me from my enemies. And do I have anybody in here that don't mind helping me close and say, I thank God he kept my enemies at bay. He delivered me. And do I have anybody they can say, thank God, he delivers not just one time, but he'll deliver over and over and over again. Just trust, hush, and hang up. He's getting ready to bring us through. If you're not to me, won't you look at your neighbor and say, thank me. Deliverance is coming. Say yeah, yeah, yeah.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.